It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. It's been over 30 years since Back to the Future 3 was filmed in Tuolumne County. It's still talked about by many in the community to this day, and memories of that time. This weekend in Tuolumne County, there's a special event in recognition. It's called Back to 1885. It's helping to raise money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, also a big kind of community celebration. We have a pair of special guests in studio, Jeffrey Weissman. He played the role of George McFly in Back to the Future 2 and 3 and helping to lead the effort to help put this event on. We also have the legendary Hollywood cinematographer, Dean Cundy, who shot all three Back to the Future films, including Part 3 in Tuolumne County. He's also shot other high-profile films as well, like Jurassic Park, Hook, Apollo 13, and many others. So it's great to have you both in studio with us here today.
Great to be here, BJ.
Thanks very much for this opportunity to be back here in Sonora, where so many of us stayed when we were shooting. Mm-hmm. It was a great fun driving through town today and just reliving some of those memories I have.
Yeah, so Dean Cundy, so having shot the first two Back to the Future films, you know, and then learning that the third one's going to be here in Tuolumne County, what do you kind of remember about that and kind of those early memories?
Well, what's interesting is that my parents moved from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, and my father loved California. And one of our frequent trips was up here to the Gold Country. And so I kind of grew up appreciating the significance of this area, and so I'm delighted to be back here for a good reason, but also just to relive some of the those memories. I actually stayed here in Sonora when we were up here shooting.
You know, I have a number of questions for you, but for people who aren't close to the film industry, can you explain a little bit about what a cinematographer does?
Good question. The cinematographer is, I guess you might say, in charge of the camera, photographing all of the bits and pieces that are put together to make the story. And that involves, working with the camera crew and the lighting crew and all of the people, production designer who designs the sets and things. And so the cinematographer is responsible for getting onto film those images that tell the story, intrigue the audience, and are, you know, very, very important, I think, for people to appreciate the experience that they're going through with a film.
What would you say were kind of some of the biggest challenges when it comes to shooting Back to the Future 3 specifically?
Well, there's always challenges, but I think Back to the Future 3 was really fun because of my, you know, my love of the Gold Country and the California history. So it was so much fun to learn that we were coming up here to photograph it, and they built an amazing town set in the Red Hills, and we stayed here for, I don't know, about two or three months maybe, in this really wonderful place. And the challenge was not having too much fun.
I imagine those train scenes had to be one of the tougher spots.
Yeah, you know what? One of the reasons they chose the Red Hills area is because of the steam train line that goes through it, and we deliberately built the train station on the line so the train could come into town. We built the town connected to it, and so I think the train was a challenge, but it was also fun because one gets to do so many interesting things in this business, and one of them for me was working with a steam train, something you don't see very often, that's been so wonderfully preserved here.
You know, it's been over 30 years. Do you remember, was the community pretty embracing when you all came to town to film Back to the Future 3?
Yeah, I was very pleased with the fact that we were welcomed. What's interesting is that, you work in jaded areas of Los Angeles where the residents say, oh, no, those film people are here again. They're going to take up all the parking. They're going to block our street. They're going to make noise, whatever. To me, it was wonderful to come here with my expectations of having a good time and then to be welcomed by all of the residents and everybody that just gave us an open arm welcome and the opportunity to not only do the job but to really enjoy the area.
And unfortunately, the film set has now been burned down, but for people who are new to the area may not have even realized that there was a whole Back to the Future film set built just here in Tuolumne County.
Oh, yeah.
Practical built.
Yeah. Jeffrey Wiseman, anything you want to add on to that topic?
I unfortunately missed out on shooting here in Sonora. My one scene in Back to the Future Part 3 was shot in Los Angeles, but I live vicariously through all these stories. So many, not only of folk that I worked with on my scene in Part 3, but through the locals I've met who worked on the film.
And then you were here for Pale Rider 2, the Clint Eastwood film. You had a big role in that film.
That was the scene at the arrival of the steam locomotive shot at Railtown 1897. Most of Pale Rider was on location outside of Ketchum, Sun Valley, Idaho, where Clint has a home.
Okay. So this event that you have really kind of led the charge to put on this weekend, you know, back to 1885, what can you tell us about how this all came about and what it all includes?
It's a bit of a miracle story. The original producers who were not going to come back after the last time they produced it in 2019 sort of were, I don't want to say strong-armed, but we twisted their arm and got them back because they are the heart of this event. Their names are Terry and Oliver Holler. They live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So to produce an event here in Sonora is a bit of a challenge, but my wife and I moved here a little over a year ago, and we said we'll support as we can and be your, you know, feet on the ground here to help get things rolling. When Terry and Oliver met through their pastor, he knew of their separate love of Back to the Future, and they have to meet each other, and he introduced them. At the time, Oliver Holler was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And they fell in love. They saw a used DeLorean parked and for sale. They maxed out their credit cards, bought the DeLorean, and because Oliver is a electronics genius, he made it into a time machine DeLorean. What parts he couldn't find to match with the screen DeLorean, he fabricated. And they have taking that DeLorean time machine literally around the world and have raised over $1 million for Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. And like I said, they started the Back to the 1885 event to raise money for the foundation and also to celebrate the fans. We have 80 to 100 fans coming to Sonora right now from around the world.
Yeah, that DeLorean, I've seen it around. It's in the community already. A big draw, isn't it?
Yes, it's very exciting.
Very cool to see.
It's a star. Mm-hmm. I've been in the DeLorean time machine at events, and people don't want a photo necessarily with me. They want to be in the car and a photo with that car. It's so iconic. It is a star.
Going to pick up on this conversation in just a minute. We're talking about Back to 1885, a big event taking place this weekend in Tuolumne County. Joined on the program by Jeffrey Wiseman, who played George McFly in Back to the Future 2 and 3. And we also have the cinematographer, Dean Cundy, who shot all three Back to the Future films in studio with us today. I'm BJ Hansen. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have more in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
On this weekend's Motherlode Views, we're talking about a big event that's taking place in the community this weekend, back to 1885. Also looking back at the filming of Back to the Future 3 that happened over 30 years ago here in Tuolumne County. We're joined by Jeffrey Weissman, who played George McFly in Back to the Future 2 and 3, and the cinematographer for the Back to the Future trilogy, Dean Cundey. Jeffrey Weissman, I'll go back to you as we kick off this segment. You told the story about Terry Holler and his wife and how he was diagnosed with terminal cancer and he built the DeLorean to look like the Back to the Future replica. You know, can you pick up on that? Because Terry Holler, he's coming back and he's here this weekend.
Yeah, Terry is the wife, Oliver Holler. Oliver Holler is the genius behind the fabricating of the time machine DeLorean that they've taken around the world and raised now over $1 million for Michael's charity. When they met, as I mentioned in the previous segment, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And during the course of falling in love and building the time machine DeLorean, his cancer disappeared.
That's amazing. So
it's a showstopper.
Yeah. Following your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The miracle of love.
Yeah. And of course, there's all kinds of events celebrating Back to the Future 3, the filming here this weekend, and both of you being in town is big news of itself, but there's also going to be some other dignitaries too, right?
Yes, it's a wonderful way to have fun while raising funds for the charity and celebrate the fans. And for the first time, as we've mentioned, the event took place originally in 2018, again in 2019, now after the pandemic, et cetera, it's back. And an actor who appeared in Back to the Future 3, who has done literally no Back to the Future 3 events on the West Coast, is, I guess it's his premiere at this event, is Burton Gilliam, who played the Colt 45 salesman in part 3, sold Clint Eastwood, Michael J. Fox's, Marty's characters. Right. He's coming in from Texas as we speak. And I wish you could see this, but he comes with his own can of beans because in Blazing Saddles, he had the famous whistleberries around the campfire. Also, we have Martin J. McIntyre, who played the Undertaker in Back to the Future Part 3. Ironically, Marvin and I both worked on Pale Rider with Clint Eastwood in 84. As well, Bobby Bennett, Robert Bennett, who is a local who actually lives in Columbia, was Michael J. Fox's stand-in double for 20 years, from Teen Wolf to Doc Hollywood to Back to the Future 2 and 3. Bobby will be there. We're all going to be riding in the parade on Saturday at 11 o'clock. It's the California, it's not Ascension, it's the California Founders Day Parade. When California became a state.
Okay.
On the anniversary of the date.
Over at the state park in Columbia?
Yes. And that begins at 11, and then at noon, the Hill Valley Festival commences. We'll have musicians from the movie who backed up ZZ Top playing in the park. They'll also be in the parade. We've got back-to-back-to-back screenings of all the trilogy, all three films, starting at 1 o'clock at the Fallon House Theater. Jam-packed on Friday morning, there is a virtual tour of the Red Hills set. Even though the set burned down a number of years ago, the original location manager, Jay Newington, has pieced together from photographs that he took a virtual set of Back to the Future 3's Hill Valley. And so you can, on your phone, see this augmented reality as you're walking through the set. For those following at home, it's going to be really thrilling, especially if you're a movie buff and you love to go to sites where movies were shot.
Yeah, very cool. That's such a great thing, I think, because the set was an amazing one of the best exteriors I've ever worked on and have ever seen designed. And it was supposed to stay there, so it would be available for filming with other people. I think they did a couple commercials and things there. And then it was very, very sad news to hear that it had burned down.
It was it a lightning strike, do you recall? Or?
Well, there's various rumors. I've never found out exactly, you know, maybe we should stop by the fire department and ask them.
Yeah, do you guys know what is up? There's so many great movies shot in this area. Of course, Railtown, 1897, and Jamestown, hundreds of films from My Little Chickadee to Go West to Unforgiven used the iconic number 3 train. And then in Columbia, that state park has had has been host to numerous films shot there and TV movies, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and series.
Yeah, no, and it's such a great thing that the history of California and the Gold Rush is preserved here, but it can be celebrated by people using it to further the history and the lore by using them to film. So it's I've always been so delighted ever since I was a kid coming up here to learn about the history, and then now to have it preserved, you might say, in so many films and commercials and so forth.
And I, since moving here, have become a certified docent at Columbia State Historic Park. And most of the docents lead the town tour in third person. And I'm trying, I actually succeeded now 3 times, and we'll do it again on Saturday evening if you're available. Take my docent tour of Columbia, but I'll be leading it as Mark Twain.
Ah, yes.
And so I'm going to play the circa 1875 Twain coming back to the area that he was in, Jackass Hill outside of Angel's Camp, 1864-ish. And talking about what life was like and what he learned about it becoming a boomtown in 1850, 1852.
Yeah. When I was a kid, Mark Twain was one of my favorite authors. I loved and reread Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn and all. And then I was so delighted to find out that he was a significant documenter of the period and the event, you know, the famous Jumping Frog, and
which he heard that story and while he was here, and that story put him on the map. It was supposed to be part of his friend Artemus Ward's book,
mm-hmm.
and when he finally got it written and sent to Artemus Ward, Artemus's book had already come out, but as a favor, Artemus put it in the paper in New York when it got spread like wildfire and put the pen name Mark Twain on the map.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, this area is so colorful and has such a significant place in certainly in California history, but also in U.S. history, American history, because of the people who came here seeking a new way, and they
yes.
ended up settling California, you might say.
And it was really a melting pot, because of political unrest in Chile and China and in France, the terrible things that were going on in those countries. Hearing, of course, that all you need to do is reach down and scoop up gold, you know, here's a new life. So after the party that found gold in Colombia in 1850, within 2 weeks when word got out, the population went from about a dozen or so to 4,000.
Mm.
And it was all mostly men. It was quite
right.
a scene
yeah.
A couple years.
And they were so clever to build these fascinating old-fashioned looking towns. Oh, wait, they were new fashion at the time.
They were new and mostly tent.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, a lot of great history. I got to ask Dean Cundey because, you know, filming Back to the Future 3 here and then prior to that, you know, this was kind of Hollywood's backlot for many years, you know, and a lot of local people have always hoped that Hollywood would kind of return to this area. Do you think there could be a future for more filming in this type of a region, or are there challenges
well,
at hand?
Well, what's interesting is as Tisha and my wife and I were driving here this morning. We were driving through some of the most beautiful forests and rolling hills, empty spaces. You know, they're not cluttered by ugly little towns and so forth. And so I think it's always been incredibly appealing, and it's all about making films that are suitable for here. You know, Hollywood cycles, you know, and right now there's an awful lot of superheroes who apparently don't live in forests. But now, you know, as those stories sort of die down, maybe we'll go back to real human stories in places like, you know, the Gold Country and Sonora.
Need to take a quick break one more time. We're talking with Hollywood cinematographer Dean Cundy and Jeffrey Weissman, actor, on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking a lot about Back to the Future 3, the filming that took place in this area, also a big event taking place this weekend. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a second.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Over the course of this weekend, various events are taking place celebrating Back to the Future 3. It's called Back to 1885. It's part of a fundraiser for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. We're talking about Back to the Future 3 filming and that event on this weekend show. In studio this weekend, we're joined by Jeffrey Weissman, who played George McFly in Back to the Future 2 and 3, and also the cinematographer for the Back to the Future trilogy, Dean Cundy. And Dean Cundy, one thing we didn't bring up earlier, this was actually one of your first times on screen, correct? Back to the Future 3?
Yeah, it was actually an amusing moment and interesting, especially for me, because, you know, you work on films and there's so many actors and people that stand in front of my camera. And they came to me one day and one night, and we were shooting the sequence in town, and they said, you know, we need an old photographer. I don't know why they use that term, old, you know, is taking the picture of Michael and Doc Brown in front of the clock, and an iconic image. And so they said, would you like to play the old photographer? And I said, of course, it would be a delightful little cameo and a fun experience. So they dressed me in the wardrobe, and I got this old camera standing next to me. And I get to say the incredibly significant line, ready, gentlemen. And as you can tell, that's where the story hinged immediately to drama. But it was actually a fun moment, and I still get people sending me pictures of myself as the photographer for an autograph. And I think, what a fun thing if you're an actor to be recognized, but also be requested to have an autograph, and it's really kind of a fun memory for me.
Yeah, that photograph played a big part at the end of the movie too, when it showed up again. So
exactly,
key moments.
Yeah, exactly.
And you didn't have to audition.
No, that was the fun part. You know, I mean,
lucky.
You know, and my agent didn't get involved in anything. It was just 10%. One of those great moments where you say, "Oh." Well, yes, of course, and you do it.
Just recently, the Mandalorian 2, which you shot for the Star Wars series with Disney, you showed up on camera as well, correct?
Yeah, you know, I did another little cameo as the street magician who was performing magic for people, and I had done magic ever since I was a kid. It was one of the fun things, and I think it's one of those things that made the film business appealing to me, because as I've sometimes said, you know, a film is nothing but a big magic trick. You know, you're getting people to sit in a room looking at a white wall with nothing on it, and then they project images, and you get sucked in, and you think you're actually seeing something. It's all an illusion, and a big giant magic trick. So I enjoyed, sort of celebrating that moment by being the magician.
Great intuition. I'll go back to Jeffrey Wiseman. So this event taking place this weekend, celebrating Back to the Future 3, bringing back all of these various different people, you know, what has kind of gone into putting this on and kind of the sponsors that stepped up?
We are just delighted that a lot of folk in the community who love the films, some who have appeared in the movie, are stepping up to volunteer to be in the parade or to help out with the Hill Valley Festival. We have businesses like Chicken Ranch Casino has become a sponsor. The Columbia Chamber of Commerce has stepped up. Clark Broadcasting has helped us out immensely. If some of you might out there have heard my spot where I'm doing my best Pat Buttram speak in those short spots. The Tuolumne Chamber of Commerce, Ironstone Vineyards, the California State Parks, of course, the Sierra Repertory Theater, and, Friends of Columbia and the Black Oak Casino have all stepped up to help sponsor us. So they've given us money to help with the production so we can raise yet more money at the end for Michael's charity. And also, so you know, the public may try to get tickets. A lot of the main ticket packages are sold out. But there are free to the public events going on. As I mentioned, the parade, the California Founders Day parade at 11 o'clock on Saturday, followed by the Hill Valley Festival, where you can hear the musicians from the movie and have your picture at the Clockworks, just like the scene that Dean is in as the photographer. Your photo, like Doc and Marty got in the movie in front of the Clockworks for the eventually the clock tower in Town Square of Hill Valley. There's also the back-to-back-to-back screenings of the trilogy at the Fallon House Theater. Sierra Repertory is letting us use their wonderful theater. And that has plenty of tickets left, as well as the virtual tour of Red Hills.
Yeah, the screening of back-to-back-to-back of Back to the Future is fun because I get to do a little intro there before the first one starts and answer some questions.
Nice.
From the audience. So it can be a not just going to the movies, but something with a little perception, I hope, into what it was to make the film here. And
as well, the Friday night screening of Back to the Future Part 3 is a red carpet gala where we're going to have sponsors, celebrities, and paparazzi, whole exciting,
yeah,
Hollywood-like
motherload big event, just like the red carpet in Hollywood.
Yeah, rarity too to see all three of those films up on the big screen again. And then
marathon.
Also want to end, too, mentioning that, we have talked about numerous times, is for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, doing a lot of great work, and Parkinson's really, really impacts a lot of people, a lot of friends, families. I know most everybody has probably been impacted by Parkinson's some way. So
yeah, it's surprising how prevalent it is. And, and now, thanks in part to Michael J. Fox's, there's a great deal more recognition of it and understanding of it. So it's I think things like that we're trying to do here are really very significant in furthering the finding the solution
and his braveness in facing it. The first cast reunion we did back in 2008, from Chris Lloyd and James Tolkien, myself, and a half dozen of the other stars. It was the first time, I believe, all of us had seen the ravages of PD on Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And it was heartbreaking because Michael is such a fantastic guy, and he's funny and just a really sweet man. And to see how the disease involuntarily made him have to move, the pain would sort of guide his body, and it was heartbreaking for all of us. And yet, he has not lost his sense of humor. He's used the disease in roles on television and elsewhere. His documentary is spectacular still on Apple TV. And he, of course, puts himself out there. I believe they've raised over $1 billion towards a cure for Parkinson's.
Well, you know, and well-deserved, because he's such a great person. I remember we were filming at Doc Brown's house at night in Pasadena. And Michael came up to me and said, how much longer till I'm needed? And I said, well, probably not too long, maybe 10 minutes or so. And he said, okay. And I expected he was going to go to his lavish motorhome or something. He walked down the hill, went to the crowd and shook hands, signed autographs. It was touching.
That's a great story. We're going to have to end on that note today. Thank you so much, both of you, Dean Cundy and Jeffrey Weissman, for joining us in studio.
Thank you, BJ.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, indeed.
And we hope you'll turn out at the various events and share some stories about Back to the Future 3 as well this weekend, a big event in Tuolumne County. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.